afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another YouTube Live with yours truly, Bill Panoff. And today marks joined by none other than Sarah Dendashi, the luminary behind the celebrated brand Ask a Concierge. Known to millions of followers for her unparalleled expertise in the travel space, Sarah stands as a beacon of guidance and insight along your travel path. Her reputation as one of the foremost concierges draws seekers of wisdom to her for her latest travel tips, savvy advice, and first-hand knowledge of emerging trends from the heart of the travel scene. And Sarah's storied career spans the globe, more illustrious hotels, crafted experiences, and transcends the ordinary. And if that's not enough, Sarah is the celebrated author of the best-selling book, Hospitality from Within, a profound look into the essence of the world-class service and power of hospitality. And here she is live. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Wow. Okay. First of all, your intro music is something else. Like I felt like I was already on a cruise in the Caribbean. Like I was like sipping on a Mai Tai.
I should have had pina coladas with the umbrellas and everything, but I forgot.
100%. That was great. And by the way, also that introduction was phenomenal. You were allowed to introduce me at any point because that, I mean, I was excited to talk to me.
No, I meant every word. I mean, so where are you? Because every time I see you, you're somewhere else. Are you back in Los Angeles?
Yes, I am back in Los Angeles for the moment. I will surely be somewhere else pretty soon, but I've got an exciting month of travel coming up in the month of April. So enjoying a little bit of time home because, you know, I enjoy being at home too. So it's nice.
Absolutely. So we're going to be taking questions through the YouTube Live, and we're streaming, by the way, not only on YouTube, but on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter.
Everywhere.
So we're everywhere. This is going live everywhere. We have some questions. We're going to have people coming in and sharing the comments, et cetera. First of all, first question, how did your journey as a travel concierge begin? When did it begin and how?
Okay, so I kind of love talking about this. I always say it's a little bit of a happy accident. And honestly, I think if you look back not only at my career, but other people's careers, like, yeah, hey, there we go. And a failed attempt at surfing. So don't start looking at me to be a professional surfer there. But basically, I got into being a concierge. I was going to school at Georgetown University, and my cousin was working at the Four Seasons in Washington, D.C. And he said, oh, hey, I think you should come and work here at the Four Seasons. I worked at the Four Seasons as a lobby host, not a concierge, but I do remember walking by the concierge desk and they seemed very knowledgeable and they were definitely very, very serious. Fast forward, I end up in Los Angeles. I go to apply at a hotel because I'm like, okay, I like hotels. That works out. And instead of working in food and beverage, the general manager said, I think you'd make a great concierge. Uh-huh. And I was like, hey, I just moved to LA, but I'm really good with maps. Like that was my selling feature. Like I was good with maps.
Are you kidding? Were good with math.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was also like 21 saying this. Oh, wow. And he was like, no, I think you have the right personality. I think you'll make a great concierge. And lo and behold, started as a concierge at the L'Hermitage Hotel in Beverly Hills. Wow. And then ended up moving to a couple of different properties over my career, but phenomenal, phenomenal way to get introduced to the industry. And also what a way to get started too in a 5-star, 5-diamond property.
Sure. What are some of the key skills or qualities that make a successful concierge in your opinion? I mean, it's not cut out for everyone. You just have to have that certain DNA, don't you?
You definitely have to have that certain DNA. You have to like people, genuinely like people. There are people that are not like so into people. You have to like people, but you also have to be in general like solutions oriented, because all day long as a concierge, people are giving you requests or presenting problems, and you have to help them. And then I think probably one of the biggest attributes that you should have to be a good concierge is that a sort of curiosity and this willingness to find out, because at the end of the day, you are constantly going to be asked things that you might not know anything about. Sure. And that's okay, because it's okay to not know things, but it's all about having the right attitude. There've been so many times people would ask me something and I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about. I was like, you know, I don't know, but let me go ahead and find out for you. And that willingness makes everything okay. So I think that that's probably the biggest factor to being a really good concierge.
What is the most unusual question or request you've ever had in all your years as a concierge? I don't know. And keep it, it's okay for the audience.
I'll keep it PG. Don't worry.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll keep it PG. Don't worry. I also, you know, would like to get through my life unscathed. So I'm kidding. What were some of the most interesting ones? We had to do like, I love this. Actually, you will love this. It's a magic one. This is so great. So for those that don't know, there's a place called the Magic Castle. I know that you are very familiar with it.
Yes, absolutely.
Here in Los Angeles. And it's members only. You have to be part of it. I believe you are part of it. Is that right?
I am.
You are. Exactly. Oh, good. Then I will call you.
Look.
Oh, where'd it go? Oh my gosh. Oh my, he's just tossing cards around. Kids, it's getting wild. So the Magic Castle, that's members only. You have to be part of it. Obviously, Bill is. I am not. And then you get an invitation. So you get an invitation from a member and then you book dinner and it's a whole thing. I had some clients come or some guests come to one of the hotels that I was staying at or working at. And it was kind of last minute. And it might have even been around Easter or something. It was kind of around a holiday, which is why it was extra booked up. And they're like, hey, we really want to go to the Magic Castle. Reach out. I can get invites. But the problem was is that the castle was all booked up for when they wanted to go. And they were only there for a short amount of time. So we were trying to, I was like, okay, well, I was like, how about this? If I can't get you into the Magic Castle because they're full, maybe I can bring the Magic Castle to you. And they're like, okay, tell us more. And I was like, I'll interview a bunch of magicians and I'll like present them to you, let you know what they cost. And we'll go from there. So next thing you know, I'm interviewing magicians and it was wild because everybody has a different style of magic that they do, presented to them. They choose a guy and then, you know, everything's all going as planned. And then right beforehand, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to bring a rabbit and a dove. And I'm like, oh, well, we're a pet friendly hotel, but I don't know about rabbits
and pets.
Normally applies to dogs. Hold, please. So I end up going and speaking to the general manager and I explain this whole situation. I was like, we have been working on this for a month. Like, this has to happen. You cannot turn this down because the magician is bringing a rabbit and a dove. I don't think that they're going to be roaming around. I mean, that's kind of the point. They like appear when they're supposed to appear and then they go away, whatever. So he okays it. We end up doing it and it was a blast. And the couple had the best time. But yeah, that's one of my all-time.
So that's what you call thinking outside the box or thinking outside the hat, so to speak.
Yes, thinking outside the hat. See, look at that. Coming.
Whatever it takes to make the guests exceed the guest expectations, obviously.
Totally.
We have a question here from Lona Rockman. And the question is, where have you tried the best cookies, Sarah? The best cookies in all your travels.
Oh, wow. That is a good one. Okay. I'm thinking about it right now. I was at the Ritz-Carlton in Denver, and they have these amazing Rocky Road cookies, and they're like concierge level. And I just remember, mind you, I'd been filming all day, so I might have been extra hungry, and it just probably just hit at the right time, but I just remember being blown away by their cookies and just thinking, oh, if I stayed there on a regular basis, that would be definitely traumatizing to my waistline. But yeah, it was delicious.
Okay. What are some of the recent trends or developments in the travel industry that you're excited about or think people should be aware of?
I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, in general, what we've seen over the past few years is that people are really emphasizing experiences over things. they are making a point to spend the extra dollar that it might cost to go and do those trips. They're not waiting anymore. And so we saw, obviously, in the past couple of years, a huge uptick in travel to Europe and other destinations. We're also seeing a lot of people, you know, especially if they've got families and all of that, that they're really traveling around the United States. Leisure travel has been really wonderful because you've got this sort of younger demographic where they might be traveling for work and they're saying, hey, I want to take advantage, and they stay an extra couple of nights. Oh, and I actually read this recent study. I don't know the exact percentage, but it was something pretty high, something like 87% of people that are staying at a hotel for work end up, extend their trip to a leisure trip, they end up staying at that same property. So if you have a hotel and you do have a lot of business travelers, that's also in a destination that people might want to stay for leisure. That is a great thing because you, now all of a sudden they're staying that much longer at your property. So it's pretty awesome. I mean, there's so many different trends across the board, but that's definitely one of them.
And that happens a lot with the cruise ships when you're taking a cruise and the itinerary includes St. Thomas, St. Martin, or Jamaica, and you experience that destination through the ship, many people return as a land-based option in the future.
Yes. Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. Because it's like now they've gotten a little taste of it and they're like, okay, I like this place. I would like to spend a little bit more time there.
Right. Exactly. What are the upcoming projects or collaborations that your audience can look forward to that you can share?
That I can share. What is going on? A couple of different, I love this video, by the way. That was me in Nashville and I was just there.
There you go.
That was a lot of fun. Going to be filming a couple of things actually in South Florida. So I'm working on a fun hotel project. Can't say who yet, but that's definitely going to be coming to fruition soon. Doing also a lot of partnerships with different travel brands. You might even be seeing me on another cruise later this summer. With our friends over at Margaritaville. Might be working that out. There's always something in the works. But for me, it's just been exciting because I also have a lot of projects that are here in Los Angeles, which I love that it kind of gives me the best of both worlds that I'm able to kind of celebrate my home base. By the way, for some that might not know, I actually am host of the podcast for this Visit West Hollywood. So the Tourism Board of West Hollywood has their own podcast. And that has been really delightful because, again, near and dear to my heart, I've lived in the West Hollywood area for such a long time. But what a fun way to kind of bring a destination to life. And I'm always a fan of that.
How often do you spend time on an airplane? Like during the year, how many days are you actually flying or in flight? Have you figured that out?
Let's see. I can definitely tell you a good, as far as like the number of flights, I probably average about 90 legs on planes. So what is that? Maybe 45-ish trips a year, give or take. So 90 flights a year. Delta Diamond all the way. I'm going to share my love.
There you go. Share with us some of your favorite travel tips and advice for those looking to make the most out of their trips, like the inside tips from Sarah.
Okay. So I'm going to give you, I always say this is like, you want to think like a concierge. And what do I mean by think like a concierge? It's obviously you want to know the inside tips and all of that, but it's also being prepared for the unexpected, because as much as I would give a lot of travel advice to people, as far as like what they should do, I also have to troubleshoot a lot. So in essence, having a plan B, because I get it. Like sometimes you're on vacation and you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to go to this wonderful museum. Well, that museum is closed on Wednesday and you had vacation brain and forgot that it was actually Wednesday. So different things like this is like, Be prepared to kind of roll with the punches. I also say plan, but don't overplan. I'm a huge fan of the rule of threes when it comes to planning, where you basically plan, in essence, no more than three things in a day. So if you're a foodie, maybe you've got that lunch reservation and that dinner reservation and then one activity. Not to say that you can't do more, but put those in stone and then give yourself that leeway to maybe have that extra bit of time to go find that wonderful, you know, chocolate croissant that you've heard so many things about, or to find a fun speakeasy bar for a nightcap. So you want to kind of just have a little bit of that buffer. But if you also are traveling with a family, a lot of families like to have a lot of activities planned. So maybe you have two activities and then you cap it off with, you know, you've got a dinner reservation. But I feel like this rule of threes really applies nicely to traveling. Sure. And so it gives you, so you get your things done that you want to get done on your trip. You're not just winging it, but it gives you that room to just breathe. So you're not coming back from your vacation saying, oh, I need a vacation from my vacation.
Good advice. Very good advice. We have another comment here from Daniel yeah. Suarez. What is the most amazing destination you've been to, Sarah, and why would you recommend it?
Ooh, okay. Good question. I have so many wonderful destinations, but I'll name a couple because it's hard to just name one. One of my favorite places, Malta. I absolutely adore Malta. Okay. I think it's amazing. Cruisers obviously are rather familiar with it, especially if they go around the Mediterranean. That is always a common stop. But if you are not a cruiser and you just go to Europe, many Americans don't think to go to Malta. And it's so fascinating, the history there, all of that. So I definitely recommend going there because you have all these cross-cultural influences and it's really unique. So Malta's one of my favorite places. I also, my experience to Antarctica was phenomenal. I mean, sure. I know that you know that that's like...
Yeah, yeah. Well, you actually did the polar plunge. I did my version of it.
Oh, you chickened out, huh?
No, I put ice cubes in my bathtub. So that was my version of it.
Oh, yeah. My God. Oh my gosh. Yeah, a little bit different if you're in the bathtub with a rubber ducky versus a leopard seal. Okay.
Oh, you do. Yeah, you
just
heard
a little different. Yeah. My mother was, it was hilarious because my mom.
Your mother did it as well?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I have the best video of it. And it was, it was so funny because, so first of all, my mom is not really into cold. Let's just say that. And, but she's really into wildlife. So she got fascinated by the leopard seals and she did a deep dive on them. And when she found out, like, you don't want to be in the water next to a leopard seal.
Definitely not.
So she was terrified to jump in because she's like, there are leopard seals not too far away. I don't think that this is safe. And I'm just like, well, I hope they wouldn't have us doing this if it really wasn't safe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Such a great trip. Such a great experience.
You travel with your mom on trips, which is amazing that you can do that. I mean,
I do. Well, quite often I do, you know, it depends on what the trip is. You know, sometimes I have, you know, a camera crew that comes with me. Like I get to travel with a videographer. Sometimes it's a plus one. So then I'll have, you know, a girlfriend or a friend come, or if it's like a really epic destination that I know that would be, my mother would love, I'll invite her as well. So it's fun because I always like to say she's the original traveler. She's traveled to way more places than I've been to. So it is fun to get to go and travel about with her. That's where all the special memories.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. As a recognized expert, Sarah, in the travel industry, what advice would you give someone looking to establish themselves as a travel influencer?
This is great. So first, my gosh, I mean, where to even begin? First of all, you need to figure out your voice and what's your unique perspective that you're bringing to the industry. You can't just say, oh, I love travel. We all love travel. I think 99.9% of humans love traveling. And so what's your unique voice and your perspective? Also, how can you add value? Are you an expert or are you really good at sharing how to get the best rates? Like, are you a bargain traveler? Are you really great at luxury travel? This is what I always say. And by the way, this is actually how my brand started by accident, another happy accident. I was taking a writing course and an instructor told us all to do a vlog, a video blog on something we're an expert in. And I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. Uh-huh. This is a crazy assignment. So I'm like, well, I don't know. I work out and I eat healthy, but I'm like, I'm not like Miss Fitness Guru. That's not me. And I'm like, you know what? It's an assignment. It's not going to be that big of a deal. I get asked all the day what to eat all the time, what to eat, see, do in LA because I'm a concierge. Let me just do some videos on that. It won't be a big deal. I'll just get my assignment done. I start that. Right. I call it Ask a Concierge, and it immediately took off. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, wow, the information I'm sharing is not just interesting to people coming to LA. It's actually interesting to people that are in Los Angeles. So what the piece of advice from this story is think about what people come to you and ask you for your advice on a lot regularly, whether it's family members, friends, because all too often we take for granted what we know a lot about. Because we know a lot about it. We're like, yeah, everybody must know about this. No, that's not the case. That's why these family members and friends are constantly coming to you to ask for advice. So take a step back, think about what people come to you for, and then try to really hone in on that, because that's where you're an expert. That's also probably where you're passionate. And that's how you're going to start to at least make an impact in the industry, because you're coming from a place of truth and authenticity and also expertise. So yeah, there you go.
Great answer.
Oh, I see Griffin and Alyssa are on here. They say, hey, hi. Oh my goodness. Love them.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about your role as a concierge, and how do you work to break those stereotypes?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is that there's a trust factor, because a lot of people think, oh, this is a great video, by the way. wow. Look how young I look. How cute. there's this trust factor, because I think a lot of people just assume that concierge are going to recommend places. Oh, they're getting a kickback from this place, and that's the only thing that's driving, you know, why they're recommending it. And, you know, it's not to say that concierge might not get a commission from certain things that they book, but any good concierge is going to give you a recommendation based on what you're looking for. Like if you're asking somebody for a steak restaurant and they start recommending a Japanese restaurant, okay, come on, like what's going on? No, they're going to give you the advice for the best steak restaurant per what you're looking for, whether it's a romantic evening, whether it's a business dinner. All of these are different nuances and factors. So I think a way to really tell that a concierge is invested in you and giving you solid advice is how many questions they're asking you. If they're asking you a lot of questions to kind of just really fine tune what you're looking for, you know that they're going to give you a good recommendation. Also, I'll totally give a plug to my friends over at Lake Lador, the Gold Keys of Concierge. Sure. If you've seen them at a property, generally a 4 or 5 star property, they are the ultimate professional concierge. So you know that you are dealing with somebody who has been in the business for quite some time, definitely has your best interest in mind, and that you're dealing with a consummate professional. So look out for the gold keys.
Yeah, the gold keys. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes, you used to wear them. Do you still have yours?
I still have them. Okay. I still have them. I can't wear them anymore, but I am a professional affiliate.
Okay.
But yes, you can only wear them if you are working at a hotel and in the lobby of the hotel. So they're very strict requirements. But yes, I do have them. And I actually even have a solid gold pair as well, too, because I won an award from them in 2015. Best young concierge in the world representing USA. Hey, Team USA for the Concierge Olympics.
There you go. Well done. Yeah. We have a shout out here from Griffin Alyssa, our friend Griffin Alyssa. Hey, Bill and Sarah. Hey, Griffin Alyssa. Nice to see you guys. Well, here's one for me from Lola Rocco. What do you do if a magic trick goes wrong?
Yeah, what do you do?
You disappear. It's, I think, the best thing to do.
You slide away. You sneak away.
Tell us about a memorable standout experience you had while living in different cities around the world and how that has shaped your perspective on travel, Sarah.
Ooh, okay. So just for a quick rundown for perspective, because I know a lot of people probably look at me and they're like, oh, she's from Ohio. By the way, nothing wrong with Ohio. Love Ohio. I'm not from there.
Okay.
I was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Yes.
I know that too. I know your airport, the ABE airport.
ABE. Yep. I'll be there later this week.
Been there many times.
Yeah, totally. You can get Peeps there and all your other candy, Mike and Ike's, all that stuff. Apparently that's from there. Didn't know that till more in my older years, but I was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania. But I am half Lebanese, which not a lot of people realize. So I lived in Saudi Arabia until I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Then I also lived in London, England until I was about eight. And then I lived in Atlanta from 8 to 18. I went to college in DC, lived in New York briefly. And then I have lived in Los Angeles. So to give you an idea, I was American and born in the States, but I was born in the States. I was American, but I didn't actually live in the States until I was 8 years old. And the interesting thing and the beauty of it was, is I was just constantly around people of different ethnicities, different religious backgrounds, different languages. And so by the time I moved to the States at 8 years old, my worldview was really a global worldview because I had traveled to so many places. I also had family in Europe. And so when you go visit family, we were traveling to all of these places. And so, you know, maybe as a kid, I would have been like, oh, great. Are we traveling again? I get to be the odd one out. But I think being a traveler at such a young age, as well as an only child, it taught me a lot about people because I would really people watch. Sure. And as many differences as we have in the world, we also have so many similarities. And at the end of the day, we just want the simple things. You know, we want to have a healthy family. We want to have love. We want to have a safe place to rest our head at night. These are the simple things, and that people in general are naturally hospitable. They want to make sure that they bring you in. And for me, there is such a beautiful side to humanity that I'm always reminded of every time I travel, especially when you don't speak the language, because it's amazing how you have to communicate when you're not speaking the same words and how you're actually able to do it, because that's what humans want to do. They want to communicate no matter what. So, I don't know. I'm always inspired by that. And I love the human aspect of travel and just to be able to be around so many different types of people. It really is beautiful.
How do you prioritize sustainable and responsible travel practices in your work and influence? And what do you believe travelers can do to minimize the environmental impact?
Great question. Well, I will say this. The good thing is, and I'm privy to a lot of the conversations that are happening on the executive level from hotels to airlines, and sustainability is top of mind for everyone. In fact, they have a lot of practices that are a part of what they're doing in their day-to-day businesses, trying to be as far as like net zero and all of that. So if it is something that is very important to you, I definitely say do your due diligence and research, because a lot of these companies will actually share what their initiatives are that they're doing and how they're trying to make a difference. I also like to look at it, you know, in another way. Obviously, you know, you can choose more economical ways of traveling, whether or as far as sustainable ways of traveling, also being mindful as far as, you know, what you're, you know, eating and how much you're consuming, all of that. But sure. I like to also look at it in a different way. And that's also the human aspect in how am I contributing to the local economy when I'm going places? So am I, you know, working and booking with like local tour guides? Am I going to these like special local places? I mean, that for me is something that I find very important. And it's, and I think that makes a really big impact. So I know it's a little bit off, it's an offshoot of sustainability, but it's this being mindful and giving back while you're traveling, because you can do that in a way that doesn't compromise the vacation experience. Because I think that's the number one thing. People want to do things that are sustainable. They want to do the right thing, but they're also like, well, I just also want to have a vacation. So do a little bit of homework, see what brands are doing, and let them do sort of the heavy lifting. Choose to plan your trips with them, whether it's different cruise lines, different hotels, different airlines, and then just make your choices that way. Know that they're following through on their part.
Sarah, tell us about your best-selling book, Hospitality from Within, and how our viewers can obtain a copy, because it's phenomenal.
Sorry, I can't get info for you.
Oh my gosh, Siri started talking to me. Okay, uh-oh. Sorry about
Hi, Siri.
That. Yeah. Hey Siri. No, we don't want to say that. Okay, I happen to have it right here. To be fair, I'm at my home office, so that's why it happens to be next to me. So Hospitality from Within, it came out about 2 years ago. You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to hospitalityfromwithin.com and you can get it from me directly. I can send you a signed copy, but Amazon certainly is the quickest, fastest way. This book, you know, for quite some time, I wanted to put together a book, and it kind of came together so perfectly. It was sort of in the tail end of the pandemic. So I wasn't traveling as much, because one of the things when it comes to writing a book is you have to be really disciplined. And it's kind of hard to do that when you're zigzagging around the world. So I was finally able to carve out some time. And in looking back on all of my experiences, I was trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to do? I don't want to do a tell-all. That's not interesting to me, nor would it be ethically right. But like, how can I share some of the tips and the lessons I've learned along the way? Mm-hmm. And that's how it came to be. And what I also love about it is that it kind of in the whole process of the book, Hospitality from Within. So I'm putting together these lessons that I've learned. Then I ended up reaching out to fellow colleagues within the industry. And I asked them for some of their favorite lessons or quotes that they remember that have shaped their careers. And then also even have concierge share their own stories. So what's great about the book is you basically have a little bit of a brief overview of the history of hospitality, some really key lessons. You've got the seven pillars of hospitality where you can learn how to really deliver exceptional service. And then you can see other concierge share wonderful stories where, similar to like my magic story from earlier in here, where they were thinking outside the box. But the big takeaway is that it's a reminder that hospitality really is universal, and it doesn't matter where you are. It's the feelings business.
Sure.
And it's been great. So the book has been just so exciting, and a lot of people have taken away some takeaways from it. So that's just been a real joy on my end of things. If it's anything to even like help reinvigorate people's passion, love being a part of that journey.
I'd say it's a great read. I recommend it. And I encourage you to buy your copy and even get it signed by Sarah herself.
If you want,
on Amazon. Sarah, what a great pleasure interviewing you. We did this a couple of years ago, but so much has happened.
I interviewed then. You.
You interviewed too. Me. Yeah.
No, that was fun.
Really a great opportunity. We're going to obviously post this, and people who didn't see it live obviously can see it at their leisure.
Yes.
And look forward to seeing you again in the very near future. Again, how do people follow you apart from the various social handles?
Yeah. So if you want to follow for more, I'm pretty much Ask a Concierge across the board. Yep. You can find me everywhere. If you're on LinkedIn, I play on LinkedIn quite a bit. It's my name, Sarah Dandashi. And if you want to read on, you know, travel tips and advice, I do have a pretty active blog at askaconcierge.tv, like television. So I'm everywhere. Reach out.
Great. Thanks for doing this. And our viewers loved it, and look forward to seeing you again in person very, very soon, I understand.
We're going to see each other in person very, very soon. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
Have a great day. Thank you, everyone. I'm Bill Pana for Porthole Cruise and Travel.